Welcome to another Radio. Sorry, I had to wait for that. Welcome to another edition of Ritter Radio. Today we have a guest who is called GS42X. She does some amazing videos. Ritter Radio, just for you who are maybe listening for the first time, is an online radio show and podcast that focuses on fan vids in the vidding community. And if you don't know what a vid is, it's loosely described as an editing of clips from a TV show or movie set to a song in a way that brings deeper meaning to the song and the TV show or movie that serves as the visual element for that vid. I'm going to start the show with a little bit of beginning music while I get set up and our guest gets on the line. So just hang on, and here is our regular song that we use to begin the show. It's called Alohomora. I might have said that wrong. Anyway, it's done by Pogo, and it's a remix of a tune from Harry Potter. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. So, today's guest, I said earlier, was GSS42X. She is a talented YouTube vidder who specializes in vids for Once Upon a Time, and particularly her OTP, Emma and Hook. She has also done shipping vids for Pacific Rim and Dark Knight. These are the videos in particular that caught my attention, and it is my pleasure to welcome her to the show. I just want to say that we're glad to have her here. Thank you for accepting our invitation to be on the show. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi. So thanks for asking to interview me. it's really nice to know that people appreciate my work.
Yes, and I definitely appreciate your work. And just even looking at the comments on your YouTube videos, I can see a lot of people also appreciate your work as well. It's a way that I think you also get that sense of appreciation. How is that? Like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just to reiterate what you were saying, yeah, I really appreciate any and all feedback that I get for whatever it is that I post. I think I'm assuming you were leading into asking me about like how that feels or what my relationship is with like certain subscribers or followers or stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have a certain set of questions I was going to ask you, but I figured we could just go with the flow and it seemed to naturally go there. Like that's one of the questions I had. Like, so yeah,
right.
How do you feel?
Well, I really appreciate like even like on Tumblr, which I'm also active on, I appreciate, you know, any feedback or any back and forth between my subscribers and my followers. There was a point where, you know, they saw my stuff and they liked it enough that they wanted to be made aware of it every time I posted something new. So that's something that, you know, I definitely always keep in mind. And most of them are silent because if you have like, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and so on subscribers, not every single person is going to be vocal or be like, you know, respond or comment, which can be a little bit confusing. It was for me at first when I first started out thinking that I've reached this milestone and yet, you know, my stuff is only getting a certain amount of views or there's only a certain amount of comments. But then after a while, you just kind of realize that there's always going to be a certain group of people that are active, and that's not reflective of your quality of work. It's just, that's just the way it naturally is. And I think what people should understand, and especially people who are, you know, creative people who create things and put them out there for, you know, people to consume and to see and to read, that feedback is really, really important, and encouragement is really important. And to be, you know, more or less specific with your comments, like, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? And that's something that, you know, it helps me, and I'm sure helps other people, to know what's working and what's not, to be more effective with whatever it is that you're doing. So that's just really helpful to encourage you and to, you know, help you move forward and to evolve and whatever it is. So, you know, we're doing this stuff for free. It's our own time. It's hours and days and stuff. So it's really important, and it's really nice to see people giving back, you know, giving you feedback and telling you stuff like that. So I really, really, really appreciate that stuff. And there are people who come back all the time commenting and stuff. And there are people that I respect also, like other vidders or other writers or other whoever, whose opinions I especially respect because they understand what it's like and they get it. So yeah, it's really nice to have that sort of back and forth with people that look at your stuff and really appreciate it.
That's great. Is there an evolution in the way that you deal with and manage your subscribers on YouTube, or is it pretty much automatic in terms of like you just post a video and people comment? Is there anything that you do on the back end?
Well, I used to be more active on LiveJournal, and I feel like I'm sort of dating myself by saying that. I would try to sort of promote my stuff or just make people aware, less so from a, you know, look at me sort of perspective, but more of like, if I was on the other end of the spectrum, if someone that I liked, or if there was a show that I really was into, or if there was a pairing that I really liked, or if there was a movie that just came out, I would want to know about any and all, you know, fan-related things, like if someone wrote something, if someone made a video. So it's more of just like, I want to let people know that there is stuff out there. It's the same way I would want to know if there was stuff. But then when I became more active on Tumblr, I would start posting my work there. And the response is like, you know, I get notes and I get comments or reblogs or I, you know, read the tags or whatever, which is usually how people prefer to give commentary.
Right.
So aside from that, I just, you know, post it and then just see what happens. Hopefully, you know, people look at it. If not, then that's fine. But I'm not like, yeah, I don't really do that much to promote my stuff so much as just try to get people to know that it's there.
Okay. So going back to sort of like my original track of questions, I first wanted to start out by saying that I'm a big fan of your work just from looking at the videos that stood out to me. And just wanted to know, how long have you been vidding?
Well, I've been doing that for a while. I remember starting out when I was around, like in grade school, where I started out using Windows Movie Maker because that was what was available to me. And I just liked the idea of, like, you know, cutting up if I had, like, downloaded an episode of something or if I had downloaded, like, a music video or something, to just kind of see how I can play that or play around with that. Mostly I started vidding, or I'm so drawn to it because I'm a very visual person. I need to imagine things. Like, I'm reading a book, I need to visualize where pictures are or what's going on. So if ever I listen to a song, or if I think about a theme for something, or if I've just watched a TV show or a movie and I want to, you know, continue that, or if I feel like a song is really relevant to whatever it is I just saw, I tend to just naturally think of, okay, how would this work out, or how would this How would this look if I piece it together? Or how would like a trailer look if I really wanted to make something? So that's what I started out as.
Was there a particular, like when you first found out about it, was it like you looked at YouTube and you saw somebody else's work and go, wow, what is this? And then.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been doing it for like a, you know, for a long time, and I first started out like in more of the animation side of it. I saw some people not on YouTube, but another like video hosting sites or places where people can post stuff. And I was, you know, and I thought, well, you know, this is really cool. This is something that I could do. This is something that I understand more or less how to do, or I understand the thinking behind doing something like that, like putting things together, piecing things together based on a piece of music or a theme or whatever. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just try it. And I don't know if I'm any good at it, but I'll just give it a shot. And then actually I had posted it on those sites. And then I was on YouTube and I saw that somebody had posted it, posted some of my work without giving me credit. So I was like, naturally I was upset about that. So I just figured I would post my stuff myself, to a wider audience or on YouTube so that the content would just be there so that people would know it's mine and not someone else's. And then just sort of branched off from there. I started realizing, the more I got into, you know, certain fandom or fandom culture, I realized that people were posting videos and doing all this stuff on a wider scale. When I sort of expanded my reach or became more involved in the YouTube stuff.
Yes. I noticed that your icon is of a woman, girl reading a book.
Yeah, that's
I'm
from
curious.
Lost in Austin. That's it was a mini series that I really liked. And that character is Amanda Price. So if anyone was wondering, it's from Lost in Austin.
Did you ever do a vid to that particular movie or?
Yeah, I did. There was one that I did a while back. That w I did like a multi show thing for period dramas. And it was to a song that was like a mashup of a bunch of different songs. So I aligned whatever segment to a specific show, and I had featured Lost in Austin. But other than that, I haven't vidded it at all, other than that one video. I just really liked that icon, and I liked the
Oh yeah,
visual
no,
of.
I think it's great 'cause it's consistent. It helps people to recognize you and know that it's your channel. As soon as they see that icon and go, "Okay, that's you," and not
Yeah.
somebody else who does similar work like you.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about the videos that you mentioned earlier that you started out with animation. Is there any difference in editing animated work versus live work with live footage in terms of characters and stuff
Not
for acting?
really. I would say, I mean, I think it's definitely a different medium. But in terms of my vidding style or what I like to, like how I like to put stuff together, there's not really that big of a difference. Maybe you might get certain scenes or certain like cinematography in live action that you wouldn't get in animation. There's not really that big of a difference, at least in the way that I do it. I'm sure that there are people out there that would feel differently or think it's an entirely different, those are entirely two different things. But for me, it's not really that big of a difference.
And how does the process or the inspiration for the vid come to you? Is it basically you see a theme going on in the show, and then you think of a song that might fit that theme, or you hear a song, and then you think, oh, this might go with this particular theme going on within the show.
Well, I mean, yeah, with TV shows or with movies or whatever, I usually, if I really like or resonate with a story or a character or a pairing or whatever, I'll listen to a song and then just that song will make me think of something, of what something that I'm, maybe it's something that I've just recently seen or something that I always go back to or something that has always stuck in my head. So I definitely think, not always, but most of the time, the music comes first, and then I think, well, I have to create something to this song. And in terms of my process, when I first started out, because of the software that I was using, I had to go in sequential order. So I was pretty much just thinking about what the next scene was or what the next clip was, not really thinking about the bigger picture or the larger video as a whole. And when I got when I started using Sony Vegas, which is what most vidders use, I think, I went about it a bit differently. I was able to place footage anywhere I wanted, so I could start editing specific portions of the song that I was more clear about. Knew I wanted this scene for this verse, or I knew I wanted this movement for this like upbeat. So then I would just focus in on the stuff that I was most clear about in terms of the vision that I had. And then I would go from there. I use a lot of markers, which are like little lines that let me know where a clip should start or where I should stop, so I can keep to the beats of the song, or that it helps me to outline it. And if the lyrics are really relevant, then I'll sometimes print them out or like sketch on the actual piece of paper, like what scene should go where, if I want to be really more literal about the video itself. And then I just usually follow that whenever I actually go into editing something.
Yes.
So in general, I kind of approach my videos like essays, if that makes sense. Like if I were to, you know, the footage is what I'm writing about, the song is like the theme or the topic, and then it's up to me to sort of prove my point or to portray or to depict what I'm actually talking about, or what I want to convey, communicate why the song is relevant or why this relates to that, or to show certain parallels, or to show the evolution of a relationship, or to show a character study or some kind of maybe internal process that a character is certainly going through. So something like that. So it's more to just, I have an idea in my head, or I have a thing that I want to point out, or I have an aspect of a show or movie that I want to highlight, and it's my job to sort of communicate that to people, or to show them what I think, or to show them what my point is, or what my perspective is on something. And then that's usually just how I think about it. Like, how do I best show this thing that I have in my head but might not be able to explain properly unless I actually show what it is?
Right. I love the way that you described it. It's like almost a visual essay, and you need to prove your point, and you're really going about it in almost a scientific way, or like writing paper or term paper or something.
Yeah, might seem a little pretentious to think of it that way, but that's like the best metaphor that I can think of for my personal process.
Yeah, no, I can completely understand. I think that in some cases I've seen vidders start out vidding and then look to apply what they're learning about vidding into a career in film editing. And I know directors, they definitely have points that they want to prove with a particular movie they're working on. So I think that's completely like right in line with the kind of work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
How long does it take for you to do a typical vid?
On what it is that I'm vidding, or I ideally make videos within maybe like a week or so of when I get the idea. Sometimes if a certain episode of a show has aired, or if it's a season finale, or right after a movie's just come out, I usually like to catch up on the momentum of that for my own excitement and knowing that people are also going to have that fresh in their minds. So I want to sort of capitalize on that, excitement.
Yes.
So usually it's done within a few days. Like you mentioned that I mostly make videos of Once Upon a Time, because that's currently my favorite show. And so I can't really help myself sometimes. So usually after a specific episode has just aired, I might post something maybe a day or so after, just because I just want to get it out there as soon as possible to sort of get it out of the way and to be aware that people, that's when people are most excited to see something or they have fresh in their mind. But usually if it's like for a movie or for if a show I feel like is best summarized after a season finale, like I did, I had watched The Newsroom for, you know, it for three seasons, which is the entire run of the show. And I was really drawn to the Dawn and Sloan relationship. So instead of doing videos or a video right after each episode, I made the conscious choice to wait until the season finale to sort of summarize the entirety of that season or their arc or their relationship, as opposed to just making something right after the other.
Right.
So in that case, I take more time where I'm aware, okay, like this thing just happened. How do I incorporate that in an idea I already have? But ideally, it's the idea itself usually circulates in my head for a while. Like I have playlists for things. I have ideas for things that I might be able to do. And then when a certain episode airs or if a certain movie, I actually get the footage for those movies, then I sort of discipline myself and make myself finish it as soon as possible. Just so if I'm almost done with it, I'll stay up and I'll finish it and I'll render it and I'll make sure it looks right and then I'll post it as soon as I can. So, I mean, it depends on, in terms of timeline or how long it takes me to do something, it depends on the source material, but usually I like to get stuff done quicker rather than later.
Now, and you mentioned staying up. I know that, like, you don't do vidding for a living. How do you balance your time? Do you feel like you mostly work at night or weekends? Like, when are the peak periods that you have time during the day to do it?
Yeah, so I have a pretty full-time job, but I make time for it. It's something that I like doing. It's a hobby. It's not something that it's not something that I think should ever feel like a job or something that I have to do. I think that was something that I struggled with a while back in thinking about, you know, I have to produce content and I have to make something after every episode of something, or I have to be more active. And then it just became more of like a job than an actual thing that I enjoy, that I want to share with people in terms of enjoyment for a common interest, instead of it being the thing that I feel like I have to keep producing, which is why I don't really take requests that often, because I want to feel like I'm the one in control of something more. I feel like I'm the best able to show my idea. I don't really feel comfortable taking someone else's idea and doing my spin on it, because I think you should, if you have an idea for something, you should definitely, you know, do it yourself, or, you know, you can start out learning how to vid if you really want to do that. Like, I encourage people to try that, because that's how I started. I didn't think, oh, you know, I can't do this. Like, I just thought, you know, it'll be fun. It should always just be fun. So balancing that with my work, with, like, my actual daytime job, sometimes I lose sleep for shows like Once Upon a Time that, you know, air on a weeknight, and I have to get up early the next morning. I like to budget my time, or I do as much in advance so that I can save up on time. Like, if I know more or less what I want to make a video out of, I'll try to do that days ahead before I know I'll get, like, a certain episode for something. And then when I actually get the episode, then I can plug in, like, the new footage or rearrange some things. But trying to be as efficient as possible, because I know I don't want to lose a lot of sleep over it. So if I can't get it done that day, I'll usually just wait until the next day when I get home. But yeah, usually, I mean, I make time for it. It's not something that's super time consuming. The time that it takes is thinking about it and visualizing it, which I can do anywhere. I can do it if I'm on the train. I can do it while I'm at work. I can do it when I'm walking somewhere. I don't have to be at my computer to do that. So, I mean,
Right.
my mind is just constantly thinking about that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I make time for it.
And is there, like, in terms of, I imagine there's an online life and then there's a real life. Are there people in your real life or community who know that you do this? And how is that? Do they say anything about it, or do they say, oh, you're doing that vidding thing? Or is it just basically all your feedback about the work that you do is all online and not so much in your real life?
Well, a majority of it is through that online community. Like I have a couple of, friends and some family that know more or less what I do. But again, it's kind of hard to explain or to get them as excited about something if they're not naturally in it. I feel like there's a common thread in like an online community that people actively seek this stuff out. It's not something that you're to look into or asking people to, hey, check out my stuff. It's something that people are hungry for. Like they want that content. They want to get as much about their favorite TV show or their favorite movie or their favorite book or what have you. They're looking for that stuff. So you don't have to sort of convince them that what you're doing is worth their time or worth their attention because they want that.
Right,
So
right.
for the most part, whatever feedback or whatever I guess awareness of what I do is mostly online because that's who I feel the most kinship with in terms of stuff that I like or stuff that inspires me. Like it's just a natural understanding. Like that's the sense of community that I get from it. But I mean, yeah, it's something that doesn't really bleed into my offline life, if that's how you can say it.
Yes,
But
yes.
yeah, it's just like a hobby like anything else. So, if people want to know what I'm doing or if people are interested in it, they're welcome to check it out, but I understand that it's not something that can be understood immediately or something that, if you don't have that mentality of wanting to absorb as much about your favorite thing as possible, then you're just not going to understand it, and that's fine. Yeah, mostly it's through like that online community.
And I understand what you just stated. Is there a part of you, let's say in your, is there a, and maybe me projecting onto you this or thinking about it from my perspective, but is there a part of you that has this thing that you do as a hobby that you're really excited and passionate about that has you want to communicate it to your offline world of people who may not necessarily understand it, but if they heard about it, they might get into it. Or other people in your offline life who are watching, let's say, Once Upon a Time, and you're doing all this work, and you're thinking, you know what? If they knew about what I did, they might actually be interested in it because they're watching the show.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's not something that I make a conscious effort to. I sort of compartmentalize my life a little bit. So if there's stuff
Yes.
that I'm doing personally, it's not a matter of, being ashamed of something or anything like that, but
Right.
it's more of just like, either you get it or you don't. If you see my work and you know me in my personal life, or if you think what I'm doing is cool, then great, you can talk to me about it or you can talk about the show and stuff. But I think it's what's interesting is that at least in like a fandom community or an online community or a vidding community, it's sort of the other way around. Like it's not that your friends get into something to like it's not like you have a friend that then you say, oh, this thing could be cool that we could share together. It's like the reverse. It's like you have this interest already embedded in you, and then you make friends because that interest already is there. So I feel like that's more of what I respond more towards. Like if people in my real life want to get involved in it, that's fine, but I don't want it to come from a place of I want to get more to know about you, so I'll watch your videos even though I'm not really interested in it. Like if you're not interested in what I'm doing as a hobby or what other people are really passionate about, I don't expect you to get invested in it. So I don't expect that or I don't outwardly seek it. If they know about it, that's fine, but it's not something that I am vocal about or share with people outside of that online community. Because, I mean, if you're, you can be in that community and I won't even know it, but if you're already there, then that's mostly who I'm making it for. That's mostly who I feel that kinship with anyway. So if you're already about that, then I don't need to, you know, tell you about it. You already know about it. So it's sort of like a self-initiation thing. If you're already involved in it, then I certainly don't need to tell you about it. And if you're not, then, you know, if you want to get into something, you should do that organically. You should do that because you want to do it, not because someone else is telling you to or someone else is asking you to be involved in it. Because I feel like that's
right.
The purest form of enjoyment out of that is because you thought it out, because you yourself formed your own opinion about something. So, I mean, yeah, sometimes friends of mine will look at it, but for the most part, it's just kind of a, oh, that's nice, that's what you do, okay, great, and then they just kind of move on from it. So,
yeah,
you know, that's totally fine.
Yeah. So I just want to take a moment. We're sort of like at the halfway point of our program. I just want to let people mm-hmm. know that you're listening to Vitter Radio. And this show provides an opportunity for Vitters to talk about what they do and share their process and maybe say a little bit more than they would be able to in a comment. And today we're interviewing GSS42X and talking to her about vidding and her videos. And this show is on a trial podcast format, and we're looking to keep it going. So please support it. We have a GoFundMe, and we have information about that in our show notes, or we will have it by the time you look at it. And you can see how you can support the show so we can interview more people and be able to share points of views and fitting related things. So is there a difference in different communities is there anything that you want to highlight about the difference in communities, let's say in YouTube, on YouTube and on Tumblr or anywhere else in terms of the work that you're doing with fitting?
Do you mean like a response from it, or what, like certain attention it gets, or?
Yeah, in terms of like what kind of attention it gets, do you feel like there's an evolution of what you're doing? Like you said before, it used to be maybe more active on LiveJournal. You used to move to different, used to before YouTube, you were in this other community, and now you're on YouTube, and you're, sounds like primarily on Tumblr. And it looks like you don't necessarily use Twitter.
I'm not really big on Twitter. I mean, I'm mostly active on Tumblr because it's just a place that I'm usually on anyway. So I usually promote stuff where I spend most of my time. I would say it's, in terms of the vidding community, I'm not really so much involved in that. I think my definition of a community is sort of people that I've seen a lot of, because I've been, you know, around it or been doing it for a long time. So I've seen people come and go, or there's some people that are still at it and people that are evolving what they do. And, you know, I comment on their stuff, they comment on mine. So in that sense, there's a community. On Tumblr, I would say in terms of a fandom mentality, I think videos are a little bit underrated or underappreciated, or they're certainly not given the amount of attention. I mean, I might be biased because it's what I do, but they might not be given so much attention as, say, you know, if someone writes something or if someone makes an edit or a graphic or whatever, which is understandable because a video medium is less immediate, so it's less apt for like immediate consumption, which I get. But I think that I definitely always appreciate people who do promote it or do reblog it or do comment about it. But I do think that there is definitely room for improvement in terms of encouraging people to do that, to support their fandom or to contribute to it in more ways than just, you know, the typical ones that you usually see. Like I said before, it takes people, you know, days and hours to work on this thing. And I feel like maybe people should have a more open mind about looking for other people who are doing things instead of sort of subscribing to the same person who posts the same sort of content, or, you know, if that's the person that always makes the same stuff or always is, you know, promoted or shared. Just like in any other medium, like if you write stuff or if you make graphics, you're definitely not going to always go to that same person exclusively. You're going to want to branch out, and you're going to want to, you know, maybe read new people or look at who else
right.
is making some really nice stuff.
Right.
So I think in that sense, I think videos can be a little bit more appreciated or considered as a contribution to that sort of culture.
Yeah.
Because I think there are tons of people that, you know, I've heard of because, you know, I look for it, or if there's like if something's recommended to me or people that I subscribe to, you know, there are tons of people that make really awesome, awesome content. And so I want to see that stuff, you know, shared and promoted and stuff like that. So in that sense, I'm more or less involved in that community, or that's how I feel like the attention goes towards that particular, like, vidding subset of that fandom culture.
Right. Who are some of your favorite vidders or other vidders that, because this would be, I guess, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about some of the maybe ones who maybe need more attention or just need to be appreciated because they're just great and maybe they're already popular.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's just so many that that I'm a fan of that I can't. It's kind of hard to just name some of them. I mean, any if you go on my channel, any person that I favorited or definitely worth checking out or subscribing to, because for the most part, the people that make some of the stuff that I favor, that I really like, they're really consistent and they're constantly putting out really good content. So over the years, I guess, you know, some people have come and gone.
Yes.
There are a lot of people whose style and videos are different for different reasons. Like, some people like to use effects. Some people like to just keep it straight. Some people like to
right.
do a lot of voiceover. Some people, you know, do more aesthetic things. Some people like to do character studies, or sometimes I like what this person's coloring looks like or what their music selection is or their originality. So there's a lot of factors that go into who's a favorite and who's not, or who I really respond to. And I think it's also important to point out that I would never want someone to judge my work now based on what I did when I first started out, because I've learned a lot more and I've, you know, figured out that some things work and some things don't. And that's something that I feel like you have to test out, or that only comes with doing something for a long time. Like, I'm sure a writer or like a gift maker or whoever, like, they would sort of be like, you know, please don't look at my early work, because that was stuff that I was still learning how to do. Or even if they're really good now, they're, you know, they understand that if you're just starting out, your work might not be, you know, as quote unquote great as other people who just have been doing it for a longer time, or who
right.
have honed in on a style. Like, that's hard to do. So
I
tend to not be so critical of people that I see that are just starting out, or if they're still trying to figure themselves out, or if they've already, you know, decided on a style that maybe doesn't resonate with me, you know, it resonates with a bunch of other people. So some of my current favorites, I don't know if they're underrated or not. I really doubt it, because, you know, they're really
yes.
good, and they're, you know, they're fairly popular. There's Grabble424,
yes.
who makes just amazing, amazing videos. There's Katrin Depp, who I really love her original take on things and her sort of like quirky boldness. Which,
yeah.
I mean, she may not even see it that way, but I remember seeing a video of hers, and I thought, you know, I haven't seen anybody bid something this way or look at something this way or, you know, edit this way. So that's something that certainly caught my attention with her. Sparrow Alex, and if I'm saying any of these names wrong, please forgive me because I'm just going by the spelling of it.
I had the same concern, too.
Yeah. So Sparrow Alex makes some really, really beautiful work, and it's super simple, and it certainly was an inspiration to me when I was figuring out my style of just keeping it, you know, very minimal effects. Or she has a really beautiful way of using the music or being aware of the musicality of the flow of something. So that's something that I definitely take inspiration from.
Yes.
There's Neelys, and hopefully I'm saying that right. She makes just really, really high quality work, not even just in terms of footage quality, but just her voiceovers and her pacing and her, you know, even like if she does like an alternate universe sort of a thing, or I know she likes to do a lot of Frozen alternate universes. Even that is just like the quality and the detail and the execution of it is just is really, really good. Looking for a Star does really nice stuff too. She's more of like an aesthetic sort of bidder, if that's the right term for it. Just going based off more of mood or doing like really close-ups of a certain episode or movie. Just more about she does more like the cinematography or like the visual aspect of it, which is really, really beautiful and stuff that I don't really see anybody else doing that much of.
Yes.
So yeah, those people, I mean, I feel bad for not mentioning more, but there's just so many there's so many like really, really good people, and they're good for different reasons, and they excel at their own thing. So if people are curious about who I think is good, I mean, any of the people that I favorited, just check out their stuff because they're really good.
Okay, great. Yeah, so definitely check out her channel and see the people that she's favorited. I think maybe even people who are on the featured channels list, because I know it was a loaded question, and I don't want to get you in trouble. You were nice enough to do this interview.
No, I understand.
And so anyone who didn't get mentioned, that doesn't mean that, you know. So let's talk about your videos. Are there videos that you've done, and this is a great opportunity to ask you, that you are really proud of and maybe feel maybe should get more attention than they've gotten or have gotten the attention that they deserved that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I like all of my work. I wouldn't post something that I really, really hated. There's some stuff that I like more than others. But in general, I'm usually really critical of a video after I've just posted it, because I'll notice, like, maybe I missed a beat, or maybe this clip should have been slower, or maybe this fade-in was a bit too quick, or, you know, like, just detailed stuff that I'm sure other people wouldn't notice, but if you've actually been doing it, you kind of nitpick yourself. So sometimes I'll like, post a video, and I'll think, oh, man, this is just, you know, this is not the best that I could have done, or it didn't really come out right. But then after some time has passed, you sort of forget the process that it took to make it. So you forget the detail stuff that you might have overlooked, or you forget the sort of nitpicky comments that you initially had, and then you can appreciate it for what it is, and you can think, oh, you know, this wasn't so bad. Some of the stuff that I'm more or less proud of, you mentioned that you really liked my Close to You video, which was the Dark Knight Rises video.
Yes.
I'm proud of that in that it closely resembled to what I had originally envisioned for it. I remember having that idea for the video because I absolutely love that song. And after I had just seen The Dark Knight Rises, I knew I wanted to do something with it. And so I felt like that song really related well to it. So, you know, as soon as I got like this really like bootleg cam version of the movie, I went in and I try to edit from that to just sort of lay everything out as like a rough sketch sort of to know where everything is in place or know what scenes work better better with others. So then by the time I got the higher res version of the movie, which I purchased, then I could just plug it in and then work from there. So I wouldn't lose that original idea or that original inspiration. So I feel like because I went right into it, like I didn't wait and I didn't like lose that momentum. I was able to stick pretty closely to what I had originally had in mind. And so another video that I feel like ended up looking like what I had envisioned was Here Is Gone, which was a Once Upon a Time video dealing with the Hook and Emma relationship. And that was something that I really loved that song, and I remember just listening to it and thinking, you know, I could plug in all these themes with them together and I could track their progression and I could sort of, you know, this verse relates to Emma, this verse relates to Hook, and this verse relates to what's going to happen in a specific episode that was about to come up. So because I had just such a clear idea of lyrically how things should go, I feel like that turned out really well in terms of being close to what I had originally wanted. Aesthetically, my Swallowed by the Sea video, which was based on the most recent adaptation for Sense and Sensibility, I think that turned out pretty all right in terms of the mood and the pacing and the coloring. So I felt like that's probably my favorite in terms of the way it looked, came out like exactly the way that I had wanted it to look or had hoped it would look like. And there was one that I did for this sort of like a YouTube contest for Once Upon a Time for, it's called No One Is Immune to Sin, which was like a show study about the anger part of the show, or how people deal with their rage or their sort of conflict within the show itself. So that was the first time where I used voiceover so heavily. So yeah. I was proud of myself that I was able to pull off something that I thought was, you know, pretty good in terms of matching up people's voiceovers and synchronizing with the music really well, which I felt I did. So yeah, those few examples. But for the most part, like recently, I've been satisfied with my vidding style of just keeping things pretty clean, not using too much effects, trying to match things up as best as I can to a certain lyric or a certain like rise in a song. So more of my recent work is stuff that I'm more proud of. Obviously, as you go along, you're usually proud of the stuff that you've produced most recently.
Yes.
But yeah, in general, I like all my stuff. I wouldn't post it if I didn't really, really like it. But yeah, I mean, those few, just from a technical perspective, those are some of the ones that I'm proud of. And, you know, if you have other favorites, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, no. I haven't watched all of your videos, and some of the ones that you've mentioned I haven't seen, so I'll definitely check those out. And,
yeah, I mean, just to sort of clarify,
yeah.
If you look back at my actual channel, it doesn't date that far back because I had a channel that, it wasn't my original one. I think my original one is still up, but I had one before then that was just GSS42, and that one got deleted because of copyright infringement. So that's why I had to add the X on there and create a new channel. So I've uploaded all of the stuff that used to be on there. But,
right.
Yeah, just if anyone was curious or if anyone wanted to know about, like, whatever happened to that account or whatever happened to that, that's what happened. It got deleted,
no,
I had to create a new one.
Thanks for mentioning that. That was one of the things I was going to touch on. What was the process like? Like, it seemed like you had some sense that you knew that your account was in danger and you created a new one before the old one got removed. What was the process of transferring? And, like,
mm-hmm.
did you get as many subscribers back, or was there, like, breakdowns happening trying to start up a whole new channel?
Well, no. I mean, I was surprisingly calm about the whole thing when it actually happened. I was just more shocked that, you know, oh shit, how do I, you know, like re-upload all this other stuff. Mostly it was, on YouTube you get like strikes or you get warnings about stuff.
Right,
so that's how
right,
people are
right.
usually aware of stuff. So you'll see other bit, like other video makers saying, hey, I got a strike, or hey, this song got blocked, or, you know, hey, like just letting you guys know I have a backup account or whatever. So that was what that actually turned out to be. And so then when my stuff got deleted, I just sort of re-uploaded it as quickly as I could. And I guess there were some followers or some subscribers that were lost along the way. But, I mean, I don't think it makes that big of a dent. And ultimately, I find that I'm caring less about the actual number and more about the people who actively engage with me. So
yes.
Those people haven't gone away for the most part. So, it was, I mean, it just kind of sucked because I feel like the copyright system is outdated in terms of, you know, these are people that are promoting your stuff for free. Like, they're not making any money off of it, or at least, you know, for the most part. Like, I know YouTube sometimes sponsors some stuff or there are ads on there, but that's because they, in order for people to use the music, they have to put ads on it.
Right,
so
right.
Nobody's, as far as I know, nobody's making any money off of stuff that they produce. So I think it's a really, like, just outdated and just nonsensical system of, you know, we have to take this stuff down. Like, nobody thinks that I created the show, you know, or a movie. Like, it's just people getting really excited about it and wanting, having their own way of promoting it, which I think is, like, you know, you shouldn't hinder that or you shouldn't try to prevent that because of copyright. Like, nobody's misusing anything or nobody's doing things that are, like, you know, a severe infringement upon something. They're just... they're promoting your stuff, so you should be more appreciative and less focused on, like, you know, technical infringement stuff like that. But yeah, it happens. You just gotta, you know, re-upload stuff or try your best to maybe post stuff elsewhere. There's stuff that I haven't been able to post on my account. I know that because it's like maybe. Like based on an actual music video that someone did, so I can't post that. It'll immediately
right.
get taken down. So I have a Vimeo account that I link back to and say, hey, you know, this video that I couldn't post is on this other account, which I think other people have other backup places where they post stuff, which I think is also a sort of effective way of, even though I can't post it on here, you can still see that content.
Yeah. I on that topic, we could probably have a whole show just on the whole copyright thing, and I completely agree with you. And if anyone's making money, it's definitely not Vitters. It's actually even the companies themselves, because YouTube
right.
puts links where people can buy the song, and it's an like you said, promoting and advertising the song. Now, I may have not watched enough videos to say this, but my sense is that you're one of the few Vitters that I've seen that are willing to embrace, like, R&B artists as background music to your...
I remember getting that comment on, like, a video that I posted, I think, about a year ago or so, about, like, oh, I've never, you know, noticed this song before. So I'm definitely aware of the sort of typical music genres that go into it, and for me it's less about, like, oh, I want to use this type of song. It's more of like, if I feel a song really resonates or really is relevant to a certain subject matter, like, I'm assuming that there was one that I did, Hold On, We're Going Home, I think is the one that you're probably talking about. It was the Drake and Rihanna song,
right?
Oh, not Rihanna, just Drake.
Just Drake, right.
Where I just felt like the lyrics just really, really matched the subject matter. So it was less about, like, oh, let me try to do this new thing. It's more just like, a song is a song. Like, if I feel like it matches up, then I'll just use it. But I do think that it's something that I definitely want to try more of in expanding the music selection. So I think there's, you know, lyrically there's, you know, there's good music anywhere, you know, even in, you know, especially in like R&B or other song genres other than like rock and pop and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely, if there's a song that I feel like it works, then it just works. So I'll just use it. But I, definitely do want to use more a wider range of music genres.
Yeah, and I also really fell in love with your video reel for Pacific Rim for those characters.
Yeah.
And I felt that fit really well with what the song was trying to convey and what the characters seemed to want to convey to each other.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that came about, I had liked that song a lot, and I was just really obsessed with Pacific Rim at the time, and I just wanted to make something else to that, and I thought, you know, hey, this fits in pretty well. And that song fits in with a lot of other shows and other movies, which I feel like, obviously, all songs can relate to anything if you think about it in a certain way. But yeah, again, it's just, I like the song. I had a clear vision of how I wanted to edit to that, so I just, you know, used it.
Great. Well, we just have about under 3 minutes to go, and I wasn't sure if we could actually talk for an hour in terms of covering all this, but I feel I could even ask more questions about your work. I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. There's so much to acknowledge you for in just the process. You posted a video onto your own YouTube channel to promote the show, and I think that that's great, taking that initiative, and you've been really great leading up to being on the show. And I love your work, and I definitely recommend anyone listening to the show to definitely check out her channel. I'll put your some of the videos you mentioned and your video channel in the show notes, so if people come listen to the show afterwards, they can go directly to the links on the show. Is there any final words or thoughts that you want to, maybe there was a question I didn't ask or anything you wanted to say before we sign off?
No, I think, you know, I really appreciate you reaching out and, you know, setting this whole thing up. It's really nice and really flattering and really kind of you to, you know, say all those nice things about my work or stuff that I've done. So, yeah, definitely big thanks to you for asking me to do this and for having such an interest in, you know, Vidding and the Vidder community and promoting people, which I think is really nice. I think we've pretty much covered everything, and I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to ask or if there's anything that you were curious about. I think I've pretty much covered, you know, any thoughts or opinions that I've had about, you know, my process or community or certainly the copyright issue that can be problematic at times. But yeah, I think I've pretty much covered everything talking about my own work.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank all the listeners for listening to the show and want you to know that we plan on continuing this. We'll have guests. I'm not sure about next week, but we may change the schedule where it's not just every Saturday, but it might be on some weekdays or whenever we can get people. And we're looking to have as many people come on to be able to express and share their thoughts, just like GSS42X has here. So I'm going to play the sign-off music. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you to GSS42X for being a part of it. And we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.